A summary of the humiliation and the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I want you to take this and read this with your family, and I'm going to read with Judy and do some thinking. There are many other scriptures I could have used for the Bible full of all these scriptures. I just chose these. I'm going to have 9 categories, and they're easy to memorize. And not, like, the reason I like to do something like this is if you've got pegs you can hang your thoughts on, you can meditate better. So when I think about the humiliation of Christ, I like to think about these different things and the exaltation of Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said over the Ephesian letter, unto me, who am blessed of the least of all saints, is this grace given, I should preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ, they're unsearchable. So I always tremble when I want to speak about the Savior. I want to say the right thing about Him. I never said enough good about Him. But as the song we got through singing, we'll have an eternity to praise Him. We will. And we're going to praise Him now as much as we can. So I'm going to read you the summary statement and then go to these different scriptures, and then I'll be through. And I've asked Addie to sing number 1 as we get through the coronation. It must have been something to be there when the triumphant Savior went back to heaven. And the angels were just going crazy, if I can say it that way, welcoming him there, the hero who had accomplished the mission the Father sent him on. And heaven was just wild with joy. And it still is, it will be, when we get there. That must have been something to see that he will come up there and sit on his throne. And that's where he is today. Let's read this summary statement now, first of all, in Philippians chapter 2. Probably the most comprehensive statement in a short few verses that talks about his humiliation and his exaltation. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was equal with God. Because he was God, manifest the flesh. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's his humiliation. But I'm glad it didn't end there, aren't you? He'd have been all the way to death and the death of the cross, which is a terrible death. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And I've said before, I shouldn't be saying this about the Bible. That sounds like an understatement. It really is, in a way. I guess that's about the best word to do. Highly exalted. Given him a name above every name. The name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth. Things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right. I hate to take a short time, and I'm going to do it, but let's just go over this. I want you to remember these 4 categories, and you can have other categories. I've chosen 4 categories to describe his humiliation. And I like to think about it that way. Sometimes when I'm trying to go to sleep or need to be meditating, it's a good way to hang your thoughts on these. And you can have other scripture besides the ones I've gotten to illustrate them. But his humiliation began at the incarnation. And kids, that word incarnation simply means he became a human being. He took on flesh and blood. So the incarnation, and this the Bible filled with scriptures about that. But like I say, we've got to go for a fairly short time. I can't give a lot of them. I'd like to give a bunch of them right now. Each one of these categories, he preached and preached and preached on and rejoiced and rejoiced and rejoiced about and comforted us very much. And they're true. They're all true. All right. And the Word. That's the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, the same beginning as God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. As we know in John 1, it comes down to verse 14, the Word was made flesh. We beheld Him. They looked at Him. We beheld His glory. And I think John probably talked about there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they saw the Lord lifted up the veil a little bit, love to see some of his glory, and they're absolutely amazed about it. And they never forgot that. I can't give you the scriptures, but I can take you to Peter, James, and John. They never forgot that. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's the incarnation. And aren't you so glad he became incarnate? He became a man for two basic reasons. One, the number one was to save us from our sins. Because Adam cast the whole human race into sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, he came to bear our sins. It had to be by a human being, but a mere human being could not do it. It had to be the God-man. But the second reason, he became incarnate, he sympathized with you. He really did. He was tempted in all points, like as you are, yet without sin. He knows what you're going through. He knew what it was to get tired. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to have people turn their back on him. He knew what disappointment was all about. He had a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's able, my friend, to sympathize with us and our troubles in a real, intimate way. Incarnation. Now, the next category covers his entire life. That's he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. You read in the Gospels, and it's amazing how many people hated him so vehemently. Even in his own hometown, people who had been raised with him and saw his perfect life got so mad over there in the fourth chapter of Luke, they wanted him to throw him off of a cliff and kill him, his own hometown folks. That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. But the Lord Jesus Christ endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. Speculate with me for a moment. We know his own brothers did not even believe in him till after the resurrection. His own brothers, his stepbrothers, you know, Mary and Joseph's sons, my friend, they did not even believe in him till after the resurrection. Can you imagine in the household that they were in, even those people closely associated with him who are not born again yet, he had to endure the contradiction of sinners against himself. So he knows how to sympathize with you. Because Christians all have to endure, of course we're sinners also, but we still have to endure the contradiction of sinners against ourselves. Sometimes we suffer for righteousness' sake. The Lord Jesus Christ knows how to sympathize with us because he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. I'll read that verse, Hebrews 12:3. For consider him, and he's talking here about holding on strong, so we consider him that endure the contradiction of sinners against himself, that ye be weary and faint in your minds. All right, the second category is his suffering and death. We could go on that forever, couldn't we? His suffering, his passion, and his death. I wish I had time, but if I get started on that, we'll never get out of here. But I tell you, we need to learn how to live under the shadow of the cross. Like I got us to sing that wonderful song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. His suffering and death. Read just one verse. Feel kind of bad about just reading one verse, but that's what I've got to do. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So he suffered. Amazing sufferings. He knows what we're going through. And the fourth category is, my friend, he really did die. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, he gave the ghost up. You can't give your ghost up. It's just going to go. You can't hold on to it. I don't care how strong you may be. I don't care how many vitamins you may take. I don't care how much health stuff you take. You're going to die one of these days unless Christ comes again. You can't hold on to life, my friend. I don't care how much money that Warren Buffett's got or Bill Gates, they can't buy 1 second, and you can't either. Our times are in God's hands. But I tell you, Jesus Christ controlled the way he left this world. My friend, he died all right, a real death, but he's the one who released his own soul. Isn't that wonderful? He had total control, but he really did die. He is really a human being who died like you're not going to die. So my friend, you come to the end, you won't have to cross Jordan alone, because he crossed it. He knows how to help you get across it. He's also gone across the Jordan of death. He really did die. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So he died a real death. So let's think about those four categories in your mind. Memorize those, and if you have to add something to them, add them. But that helps you think through the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. His incarnation, he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, his sufferings, and finally his death. If you have a hard time going to sleep, meditate on that, and my friend, you probably won't even want to go to sleep if you have so much fun doing it. You might surprise your wife or something. You might start shouting there in the bed. I wish we could see some of that, don't y'all? And my friend, it's good enough for that to happen. I remember one time, I love this story about this old man who had preached for a long time, a godly old man, had a godly wife, and one day he just cried. She said, "Honey, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I wish I could love him more." That's a good thing to cry about. But the day will come when we'll love him like we want to. All right, now let's turn to the exaltation of our precious Savior. I've got five steps here. Number one is his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. I'm not going to read a whole lot about these different ones, but I want to read something John Gill said about the resurrection. I like this. Raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. Resurrection. Christianity stands or falls on that, and it doesn't fall, it stands. He really was placed in a tomb. They sealed that tomb. And I love it when the official said, "I want you to put a seal on that tomb," because his disciples said he'd rise the third day, and they'll come and steal his body, and then we'll be in trouble. And I love what he said. "Make it as sure as you can." And they did. It wasn't good enough. They made it sure they could. They still that thing had soldiers around about it. Brother, they made it sure they could. It wasn't good enough. He came out of there. All they would have to have done to have killed Christianity in the cradle, was to find a dead Jesus Christ. That's all they had to do. That's all they had to do. If they found a dead Christ, we wouldn't have anything such as Christianity. They couldn't find him because he was risen. Here's what the resurrection proves. By the resurrection, Christ conquered death. I love that conquering, don't y'all? And came forth alive out of the tomb. It was the proof his work of redemption had been fully successful. It showed that his work had fully satisfied the demands of the law, and that death, therefore, had no further hold on him, nor on any of those for whom he died. Death does not have a permanent hold on us. That's why I said it. Sue wrote this funeral, my friend. This really is a graduation ceremony. When we come to the funeral of a Christian, it's a graduation ceremony. All right. Now the ascension. Oh, I wish I had time to preach on all these. Y'all sing about this today, Psalm. His ascension. Woo! He ascended up into heaven. I wish I had time to go to Colossians 2. I don't. But I tell you what, when he went through those clouds, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. He made an open show of the Satan and the demons when he went through, my friend, the air, whatever he went through, to get to heaven. It's amazing. He ascended up into heaven. Let's just read one here. I wish I could read a bunch on this one. Mark 16:19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto him, to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. You want to have a good Sunday afternoon that really will give you some iron in your spiritual blood? Get your concordance out. Read every time in the New Testament the right hand of God is mentioned, and you're going to be shouting before it's over with. Every time, my friend, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, signifying his work was finished. He ascended up into heaven. So we got his resurrection, his ascension. Now, all his coronation. Woo! The crowning King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what coronation means. They crowned him. What would that look like? You know what I kind of think? I can speculate. I didn't like to speculate about heaven. He's done a lot of speculating lately. I think most of it has been right, probably all of it. But I tell you what I really believe. I believe the Lord's going to show us history when we get to heaven. We got forever to see it. We might sit up at a stand and watch the Noah's Ark. Who knows? An angel could bring us some popcorn. I believe we may see creation, my friend. We go see it. And I believe we may see the crucifixion. Who knows? But I believe in, I'd like to see this coronation ceremony, wouldn't you? You know, I'm older than a lot of y'all are. So I actually saw television. They had television back in those days when Queen Elizabeth, who's still on the throne over there, had her coronation. It's pretty impressive. Pulling all those little carriages and those horses and stuff like that, and all those Buckingham Palace guards and all that. But my friend, that was nothing compared with the coronation that Jesus Christ enjoyed. Nothing in his coronation. Hebrews 2:7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and to set him over the work of thy hands. So we got, my friend, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coronation where they crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, my friend, this is beautiful, the session. That is, he's sitting at God's right hand, and I've got good news for you. He's ruling this world from God's right hand. My friend, the people that think they're ruling the world, they're not ruling the world. God's ruling the world. Remember that. Don't be down all the time. We may have a little COVID going on. We may have a bunch of ungodly inflation going on. We may have a lot of socialism going on. We may have some transgenderism going on. We got a lot of things to think about that would drive us crazy, but it should not, because he is ruler over all. He knows what he's doing when he lets these things happen. He knows what the outcome is going to be. And we're on the winning side, my friend. I'm telling you, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and when Peter preached to them, he said, I'm telling you what's going on. He said, what, this has come from Jesus Christ, who's at God's right hand. Read Acts chapter 2 if you want to see that. So here we have, as he's the session, his great ruling there at the sit at God's right hand. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things with the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Isn't that glorious? Now, what are we waiting for now? It's going to happen one of these days too. Oh, my friend, his second coming. He's coming again without sin to salvation. Y'all sang a song today that called him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Yes, I know he's the Lamb of God, but he's not coming back, my friend, as that meek and lowly lamb. He's coming back as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah to judge all nations, my friend. What a day that's going to be. It's going to be a great day for the saints, a terrible day for those who are not saints. All right, let me give you a little something extra here. It won't cost you anything extra, okay? Every time you pass by a cemetery, y'all say three things. You kids remember this. Don't ever forget this. Every time you pass by a cemetery, you say three things. Number one, Satan, you're a liar, because he told Eve you won't die. He lied about that, didn't he? Number two, I'll be there someday. But number three, I'm getting out of there someday, because God's going to get me out of there. Three things every time you pass by a cemetery. Satan, you're a liar, I'll be there someday, but God will get me out someday. I remember when my mother died, when I was 19 years old. And I was out there at the cemetery down there. The cemetery down there. And I was out there with my precious sisters, my dear sisters, three sisters. Watching them shoveling in the dirt on mom. It's a kind of a sunny afternoon, kind of a pleasant afternoon. I said, girls, look around here. People are afraid of cemeteries. They shouldn't be. There's going to be a beautiful sight here someday because those graves are going to open and the saints of God are coming out of there. You remember that next time you go to a cemetery, friend. If there's any saints in there, it's going to be a glorious day on the resurrection. So we look at Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. So try to remember those five things on that. Memorize them. Take those home. I don't see those on the benches. I don't throw these things away. If you want one, get it. Meditate on these things. God deserves our thoughts. We'll glorify him and get a lot of good for ourselves.